Today's shiur is Masechta Nazir Daf Nun Tes. We will begin on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom. We begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach now sugya of the Torah tells us for La Yilbash Gever Simlas Isha. A man may now wear the clothing that a woman wears. And our shiur Mitzvah Hashem our Gemara today will discuss the parameters of this halacha. The Oitzer HaGoyim quotes Rav Sri Rogoyim, Rav Hai Goyim, as saying that, as we know, the Torah says, La Yibush Gever Simas Isha, V'lo Yehei Kli Gever Al Isha, a woman may not wear a man's clothing. They say that these halachas are very unique. For typically when the Torah tells us that we must do something, or the Torah tells us we may not do something, that halacha remains forever. Torah is nitzchius. However, these halachas, they explain, really depend on the styles and the customs of different places. And therefore, these halachas may change over the years, depending on what men and women do. And these halachas really depend on geography. Where a person lives has a very big effect, depending on the minhag hamakom, what is the halacha. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav. Rav says, Mekel Adam Kogufoi Betar. A person may shave his entire body, including the armpit area and the private areas, with a razor. And Rav is saying that this is not a violation of the lav of La Yilbash Gever Simlas Isha. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in a Braisa, Hamava Beis HaSechiu Beis Erva. If someone removes the hair from the armpits or from the private areas, Hareza Loika, he gets Malkus. So how could Rav suggest that it's Mutter? Answers the Gemara, Habatar, Habimis Barayim. If a razor is used, that's what the Braisa means when it says one would get Malkus. If scissors are used, then it's permitted. Ask the Gemara, for Rav Nami Batar Koma. Rav, when he said his halacha, was speaking about a razor, and he still said that it's mutter. Answers the Gemara, when Rav said tar, he didn't mean actually a razor. He meant ke'en tar. He meant like a razor, meaning scissors. But a razor itself, well, even Rav will agree, is Osir. Only according to Rav are scissors permitted. And there's a machlokes rishonim, what does it mean when Rav says that scissors are permitted? Does Rav mean to say that under all circumstances scissors are permitted? Or does Rav mean to say that it can't be too close of a cut? By definition, if scissors will be used, it won't be such a close cut, and that's why Rav will say only under those circumstances will Rav hold that it's mutter. However, says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Chiba Abba, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, he says, Hamava beis asachi beis erva. If somebody removes the hair from the armpits and from the private area, like he gets malchus. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in a braisa, Havara sar, removing hair from anywhere in the body, Eina medivrei Torah, Ela medivrei Sofrim, is not osim medaraisa, it's only osim medrabbonon. Answers the Gemara, my loika nami de kamar. What does Rabbi Yochanan mean when he says loika? He only means medrabbonon makas mardas. Even though, as Tosfos points out, the Gemara could have easily reconciled that Rabbi Yochanan is following the opinion of the Braisa that we just quoted a moment ago, that said Hamava Beis HaSechi or Beis HaErva Hareza Loika, and we could say that Rav Yochanan is following that Braisa, and therefore questioning from this Braisa would not really be a question. Says Tosfos, the Gemara preferred to say a teretz that would not involve creating a machloikis between the Braisas. And therefore, according to Rav Yochanan, everyone agrees that it's also midrabanan to cut the hair of the Beis HaSechi and the Beis HaErva, even as Tosfos explains, according to Rabbi Yochanan, with scissors, and therefore the halacha, and that is the halacha, as will become clearer as we go through the shir. The halacha is that a razor certainly may not be used, nor may scissors be used under normal circumstances. Again, we always have the halacha, the rule that we started the shir with. It really depends on the minig hamakom. It really depends on the custom in the place, what do men do, what do women do. But pasha pshat, that is the halacha regarding the Beis HaSechi, Beis HaErva. What about other hair on the body? So the Paiskim say, the Shulchan Aruch, and this is the way the Shach and Taz explain, certainly cutting hair, other hair on the body, not from the Beis HaSechi and the Beis HaErva, if one uses a scissor, is certainly permitted. There's a question to what degree scissors are permitted. Some say that as long as those hair are being cut with a scissor, it's always permissible. There are others that want to say that if one cuts with a scissor other hair on the body of a man with a very close cut, even though one is using a scissor, it would be usur. And the question comes up regarding cutting the hair of a man's eyebrows. Would it be permitted or usur? Based on what we just said, if one uses scissors, particularly if he doesn't cut them very short, it would certainly be mutter. There are other haterim why those eyebrows may be cut. One heter is because women cutting the eyebrows would be us because of layibush geva similis isha. Eyebrows women typically cut or remove with tweezers. They trim them with tweezers. So therefore, using a scissor is not the typical utensil, typical tool used, and it's another heter. Another heter that the Paiskim mentioned is that it's a tsar, a man that has very long eyebrows that bother him is a tsar, and that's another reason why it should be mutter. Continues the Gemara, Ikedamri. However, there's another version on how to understand Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Om Rabbi Chibar Abba, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Hamava Beis HaSechi Beis HaErva, if someone removes the hair from the Beis HaSechi and Beis HaErva, Loika. He's Loika Midaraisa, Mishum Layilbash, Gever Simlas Isha. Meisvei asked the Gemara, how could we say that it's an Issa Daraisa, where we quoted a Braisa that says, Havara Sar, removing the hair, Eina Medivrei Torah, Eina Medivrei Seifrim, is only Usur Medrabonon, not Medaraisa? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, according to this version of his opinion, holds Kuda Amikahai Tana, holds like the following Tana, the Tanya, Hamava Beis HaSechi Beis HaErva, if one removes the hair from the Beis HaSechi, Beis HaErva, Hareza Oiva, his Oiva Issa Deraisa, for which there is Malkus, Mishum La Yilbash, Gever, Simlas Isha. Asks the Gemara, the Tanakama, and the Tana of the other Braisa, who holds that there is no Issa Deraisa when one removes the hair of the Beis HaSechi, Beis HaErva. Ask the Gemara, Hailo Yilbash Gever Maidor Shbei. And as the Rishonim explain, typically when the Gemara uses the words Maidor Shbei, what the Gemara means to ask is that the words are superfluous, and the Gemara is trying to understand what do we do with these words. Here, that's not the Gemara's intent, they explain. What the Gemara is asking is, according to the Tanakhama, how does he define the Isser of La Yilbash Gever? Answers the Gemara, Ibaila Lechetanya. He needs it for what we learned in the following braisa. The pasuk says, "Layibush gever simas, layibush gever al isha." My time of loyim. What does the pasuk mean? Im shlayibush ish simas isha. Does the pasuk mean strictly that a man may not wear a woman's garment? The isha and a woman may not wear simas ish. Harei kva nemar. The pasuk says, to'evihi. The pasuk where it says about this iser calls it a to'eva. Just by a man wearing a woman's garment or a woman wearing a man's garment, we don't have a situation of an abaname, of a to'eva. Therefore, he says, the Tanakhama's opinion is, Elish la yibash is simas isha v'yesh ben anashim. A man is not allowed to wear women's clothing with his intent to sit among women. V'isha, and a woman is not allowed to wear simas ish, a man's clothing with teisha ben anashim. So according to the Tanakhama, the isser here is an isser of looking, of a man trying to look like a woman, and a woman trying to look like a man. There's a machloikus rishonim. What does that mean? Does the iser mean because the man is trying to look like a woman, or is it that the man is trying to associate himself with women for immoral reasons? What would be the nafkamina between these rishonim according to the Tanakhama's opinion? The nafkamina would be if a man is wearing one garment like a woman, but he's not wearing the rest of his garments to look like a woman. So if the concern is that a man should not try to look like a woman, so here we don't have that issue. He's only wearing one garment like a woman. But if the issue is that he's trying to do things that will cause him to associate for moral reasons with women, then even one garment would be awesome. However, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion is, Menayin shloi teitzi isha b'klizayin l'mechama. A woman is not allowed to wear the garments of a man. She's not allowed to wear weapons like what men wear. V'lo yilbash geva simlas isha. Nor may men wear clothing of a woman. What does that mean? Shloi yisakin isha b'tikunei isha. A man may not beautify himself like women beautify themselves. So as the Mefarshim explain, the Ritva attempts to explain that the machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that according to Tanakhama, the Isser is limited to clothing, whereas according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's expanded to anything that's done for beautification. However, the way most Rishonim explain the machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is as follows. According to Tanakhama, if it's not done for the express purpose of looking like women or associating with women, it's mutter. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's always usher that a man should wear women's clothing and women should wear man's clothing. And as the Gra points out, the Torah, when expressing the isser of a woman wearing men's clothing, doesn't say, like it says by men, don't wear women's clothing. Rather, lo yikle gever al isha. It comes to teach us that a woman may not wear a weapon, because men are the ones that typically carry and wear weapons, and not women. And therefore, a woman may not wear a weapon, may not even wear a weapon. In fact, I saw that the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, point out that was the reason why Yael, when she killed Sisroi, went out of her way, killed him with the peg of the tent, rather than killing him with a sword. So Mefarshim explained, because, as the pasuk says in Shoftim, Yoda leyesed tishalachna, she used the peg of the tent. And the Mefarshim explained, because she wasn't wearing a weapon. Even though, as the Masham points out, certainly it was a situation of Bikuach Nefesh to kill Sisroi, and a woman would be allowed to wear a sword. But as the Masham explains, since she typically did not walk around with a sword, so then when she needed a sword, she did not have one available to herself, and that's why she used the peg of the that kept the tent down to kill Sisroi. Another pshat that I saw along the same lines is that the Torah and people who follow the Torah are so careful. And yes, she was allowed to kill Sisroi, And yes, she should have killed Sisera as she did. But the Torah is teaching us, the Navi is teaching us, that if she's a woman, and as the Pasuk is teaching us, that a woman is not supposed to wear a clothing of a man, nor carry weapon, therefore she was careful. Kill, but don't kill with a sword if you have an opportunity to kill without wearing a sword. Even though the Ben Yoyada asks, that the Gemara says in Masechta Soita, that from a chemis mitzvah, a kala goes out even mechupasa. So we see that women did go out to battle. So he explains that when we say that women went out to battle, it doesn't mean that they actually participated in the war carrying weapons. Rather, what it means is, he says, that they stayed and did the duties that had to be done at the home office, at the home front, but not to go out in battle. Going out to battle means carrying weapons, which women may not do. So the Mefarshim ask, if the Torah is being so careful that a woman shouldn't wear the clothing of a man or do anything like a man, we're learning Masechta Nazir, and we've learned that women can also be Nazir. How could a woman be a Nazir? As we've learned, and we'll learn a mitzvah Hashem, a Nazir has to shave all of her head, hair, when she finishes Naziris, which is the hairstyle of a man. So one pshat is that the essay of a Nazir cutting his or her hair, shaving all her hair, is doicha de lois essay of lo yilbash. Along the same lines, other mefarshim explain that what the Torah, by telling us that Naziris is not only applicable to men, but it's even applicable to women, is telling us that in the situation of Naziris, don't be concerned about Layibish, about Layi Kle Gever Alisha. Another pshat is that the haircut in which a woman shaves all of her head hair is really not similar to the haircut of a man. Because when a man shaves his hair, he's supposed to leave payus, as we've been learning. Another entirely shaves their head, and therefore it isn't, the shaving of a Nazira is really not like the haircut of a man. But another teretz that is given, which the Bach says, and which is important la'aloch l'maisa, is that the only time, even according to the halacha, that one is over la'yilbash or la'yir klegev alisha, is when the purpose of doing it is to look like a man. If a man does something that looks like a woman, or vice versa. Here, where the entire purpose is just to fulfill the mitzvah of Naziris, there is no Isser. And this rule that we just said is very relevant la'loch l'maisa. One shaila that comes up quite often is a shaila if a husband, a wife, are sitting somewhere, and let's say the wife gets cold. She doesn't have a sweater, and she doesn't have a way, and she's cold. So many times the wife will take her husband's jacket, her husband's coat, to keep warm. Is it permitted or not? Based on what we're saying now, that if the woman is wearing men's clothing, and her intent is there is absolutely no intent to look like a man, it's mutter. Therefore, it would be mutter for the woman to wear the man's coat or jacket. Similar shaila is that let's say a woman has an umbrella, which is very obvious, a woman's umbrella, pink umbrella, that a man would not wear. A man's going out and it's raining, and it's the only umbrella available to him, this woman's umbrella. May he carry it? Again, certainly his intent in taking the umbrella is not in any way to wear or act like a woman. His entire intent is only to carry an umbrella because it's raining, and therefore it's mutter. Another shaila that comes up is based on the Gemara in Masechet Nedarim. The Gemara in Masechet Nedarim teaches us about Rabbi Yehuda and his wife, who were extremely poor, and they shared a coat. The Gemara discussed it when one of them needed it and the other one needed it. But the question that the Mefarshim ask is, our Gemara is teaching us that a man may not wear woman's clothing and a woman may not wear men's clothing. So how could they shear a coat? So Chaim Shmulevitz answers that it really wasn't a coat. It was just a piece of material that they used to wrap themselves when they went outside. When we talk about men wearing women's clothing, women wearing men's clothing, it's when they're wearing clothing. That wasn't clothing, it was just a piece of material. However, the Mashah explains that it was a coat. But he holds that if there's a coat which is made to be worn either by men or by women, there is no Isser of Layikle Gever Alisha or Layilbash Gever Simosisha. The Isser only applies by clothing which is dedicated for men or for women, not by clothing that is made to be worn by either, which was the status of the coat in Masechet Nedarim. The Paiskim also discuss, since our Gemara is teaching us how careful a man must be now wearing a woman's clothing and a woman now wearing a man's clothing. But again, as we said, if the purpose is not for the man to look like a woman or vice versa, so the Ramah and the other Paiskim, Paskin, that's why a man on Purim, particularly children, may wear, dress up like women, and it's not an Isser. However, the Bach quotes the Yireim, and the Mishnah Berurah also quotes this Shita, that it's not appropriate to follow this minig. It's not appropriate to follow a minig which is contrary to what the Torah says. The Sefer Likutei Yehuda says a very beautiful pshat. We just learned that a woman is not allowed to wear weapons, and in fact the Torah, when it teaches us what a woman may not wear, specifically speaks in terms of layir klei gever alisha, as we quoted the Gra, meaning weapons. So says the Likutei Yehuda, the next pasuk in the Torah is the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, Shaleach to Shaleach HaSa'am Bottom Tikachloch. What is the connection, he explains, between these two dinim, between these two rules? So he explains very beautifully. A woman, after we learn these psukim and learn our Gemara, who may not wear under any circumstances the clothing of a man or wear weapons, may feel upset that they can't participate in war, a mechemes mitzvah that Klal Yisrael hold. Teaches us the pasuk that everybody has their own specific purpose, and the purpose of men is to go out to war, and the purpose of women is shaleich to shaleich asaim. The pasuk teaches us the importance of mother, how important a mother is, and therefore a woman should not feel that she's missing out anything. She's doing what is so important to Klal Yisrael, being the mothers of Klal Yisrael. But the pasuk, as we also says, speaks to the man. V'layilbash geva simlas isha, a man may not do anything to beautify himself like women. There's a machlokes ha'achronim. What would be the halacha, something that a man does to beautify himself, but it's something that a woman doesn't do because it doesn't apply to a woman? The best example would be cutting a beard. According to the Mashal, even though if one cuts his beard, it's clearly being done in order to beautify himself, it says the Mashal, since that's not an act that women do in order to beautify themselves, women don't have a problem with beards, it's mutter. However, the Tzemach Tzedek and the Ragged Shover hold that in a man removing a beard, besides the issa that we've been discussing over the last number of shiurim of Lysashkis Pasukanecha, even in situations they argue where one is not over that lav, still they say it's also for a man to cut his beard in any way, because cutting the beard is an act a beautification, which they hold is included in the Isser of Layibash Gevis Mosisha, which the Paiskim also continue to teach us is the reason why a man may not dye his hair or his beard, why a man, according to the Rambam, even if he plucks out one white hair from his beard, is over an Isser Daraisa and his Chayiv Malkus. The Ravid disagrees. He says that it's not an issur d'oraisa, but he does agree that it's an issur d'rabbanan. And that's why the Paiskim go at great length to discuss that men may not dye their hair or their beards, but they do discuss various situations where it may be mutter. One situation that I saw the Paiskim discuss is, let's say a person's beard got changed colors, half his beard is black and half his beard is white. So here, when he's dyeing his beard, he's not doing it because he wants to beautify himself. He's just embarrassed to walk out that way. Some Paiskim suggest that under those circumstances, it's mutter. Most Paiskim say that it's usur. One of the things that I saw that the Paiskim suggest that should be done, the Shas HaTshuvos Maharei Ashkenazi suggests that should be done under those circumstances. You don't want to walk around with a beard that's half black and half white, so you want to color it, so dye it all white, and you will have accomplished that. You don't have the embarrassment, but you didn't do an act of beautifying yourself. Ramosha, in discussing this halacha, says that when a man may not dye his hair or his beard, it's not only usur if he does it by coloring his hair with a dye, but even if one would take a pill which causes the hair to change colors, says Ramosha that too is usur. However, there is a tshuva for Ramosha. The Ramosha discusses a shaila that, let's say there's a single man who's still single, whose hair turned gray at a very young age, and there's a question if he's allowed to color his hair because it's hard for him to find a shidduch with white hair. Or another similar situation Ramosha discusses is a person who looks much older than he is, and he's going for a job interview, and he's concerned that if he looks that old, he will not have a good chance of receiving the job. May he color his hair? Ramosha is makel. However, there are a number of paiskim that say that even under those circumstances, one should not be allowed to dye one's hair. The paiskim go on to explain, since we see how careful the Gemara is about men not wearing women's clothing, women not wearing men's clothing, that the paiskim say that even though, as we have also discussed, there are no dinim by ketanim, children below the age of bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, are not mechui b'mitzvahs. However, the Minchas Yitzchak points out that there is a din of osa lispus loy b'yadayim. One may not actively help a child do an aveira. And that's why we're not allowed to give children, even below the age of bar or bas mitzvah, macholois asuris. So they say, putting on a child clothing that is, or putting on a boy girl's clothing or girl boy's clothing would be usur. Again, many of these halachas that we have been discussing, the din may change based on the circumstances. And again, if the circumstances are such that it's common in a certain place for men to dye their hair or to do other acts of beautification, that becomes part of the minig hamakom that would cause that it should not be such an isser. Tosfos goes on to discuss, based on what we're learning now, if a man is allowed to look in a mirror. If the purpose of looking in a mirror is for one to beautify himself, it should be usser for man to look in the mirror. However, Tosfos goes on, and the Rama says this, that if the entire purpose of looking into the mirror is just for beautification, that would be usur. But if one is looking into the mirror just to make sure that he looks neat, there the halacha would be that a man may look in the mirror. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, even though we said a man may not remove his body hair, says Rav Nachman, but a nazir is mutter. A nazir may remove his body hair. And the way most Rishonim explain this Gemara, They explain that it's referring to a situation that where the Nazir is cutting his hair at the completion of his Naziris, he's allowed to cut the hair on the rest of his body. However, says the Gemara, V'les Hilchasa Kavasei, the halacha does not follow Rav Nachman, and there is no exception for Nazir. However, the Paiskim do point out that if one is cutting all of the hair on his body, even though we started the shir saying that one may not cut the hair of the Beis HaSechi and the Beis HaErva, but if one is cutting all of the hair on the body, then it's permitted. Many Rishonim, the Rashba says this, other Rishonim say this, even though it's a little hard to understand, because if that's the halacha, so why at the beginning of the shir, when we asked how Rav could say it's mutter, why don't we answer that referring to a situation that is cutting all of the hair on his body? It seems that if the Gemara didn't say that teretz, there is never a heter to do it. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rabbonon l'Rav Shimon bar Abba, Chazina le Rav Yochanan de Lesley. We saw that Rav Yochanan did not have any hair in his underarm area. Isn't that a proof that he's allowed to not, that you're allowed to cut it? And here Tosfos brings a raya that the halacha is that one may not cut even with a scissor, because if the halacha were to be that one is allowed to cut this hair with a scissor, so what's the question when they saw that Rabbi Yochanan didn't have any hair? He didn't have any hair because he cut it with a scissor. If they were asking how Rabbi Yochanan did this, it must be that even with a scissor it is prohibited to cut the hair. Answers the Gemara. So they answered, it wasn't that Rav Yochanan Chas V'Sholem cut that hair. What happened is, Amal Hay Machma Zikna Nashu. Because Rav Yochanan was already an elderly person, the armpit hair had fallen out. Says the Gemara, Hahud Neschayev Negida Kameid Rav Ami. There was a certain person who was sentenced to Malkus in front of Rav Ami. Igloi Deis HaShechi. So the Rishonim have two pshatim. Either as they were about to give him Malkus, they took off his shirt and they saw Chazi D'loi Megaleich, and they saw that he didn't cut the hair in his underarm area. Or another pshat is they used to wear shirts with very wide sleeves and they could see the underarm area, and they saw that this person did not shave his underarm area. Amal and Rav Ami, so Rav Ami said to them, Shafkua, leave him, Dei Mechavrayahu. He's obviously a person who's a very scrupulous person. He doesn't shave that hair, and therefore he should be left. So, there's a number of pshatim in how to understand this Gemara. Firstly, the Rishonim, the Mefarshim, explain that obviously he was only obligated in this situation for Malkus Mardus, Malkus Rabbonin. Because if he was supposed to receive Malkus Daraisa, even if he's a very good person and he follows the halacha carefully, that doesn't absolve him, that doesn't exempt him from the Malkus that he's supposed to receive. So obviously we're only referring to Malkus Rabbonin. In fact, there's some Mefarshim that explain that even the Malkus Rabbonin, it wasn't that he was completely exempt, they just lessened the sentence and gave him less Malkus because they saw of what his act. So the Mefarshim explain why was the great thing that this person did. If, as we're explaining, everyone is supposed to be careful in not cutting the hair on the underarm area, why was he so special? So Mefarshim explain that, as we have learned, even if a person lives in a place where it's the custom that men do shave that area, there is no Isser. This person was scrupulous and he was careful not to cut that hair, even with a scissor. And that is the halach lemaisa. The halach lemaisa is that one should never cut the hair, a man should never cut the underarm and private area hair with a razor. With a scissor, particularly if it's a place where it's the minig that men cut the hair there, it is al pidin mutter. However, as Al Gemara says, scrupulous people go out of their way and never cut that here. There's also an interesting machloikis hapoiskim. As we've been saying, a lot depends on what is the custom in the place, where one is. And the question is, how do we determine what is considered the minig hamokim? The preacher says that even we follow even not just the custom of the way the Jewish population is, we look at the general population. And if it's the minig of the general population for men to do something, it's no longer an iser of layibush geves simlasisha. Kivega disagrees, and he says that we have to look at the way Jewish people act. We don't look at the custom of the general population. Says the Gemara, Bar minei Rav Chiya, Mal Galeach. What is the halacha? May one shave his body here with a razor? Omalei, Vaka Godel. Aser. So he says it's Aser. Omalei, so he asks Vaka Godel. It grows and it causes discomfort. So how come one should not be allowed to cut it? Omalei, Bapechsi. Son of great people. Others say Bapechsi means the son of a Talmud Chochem. Zman Yeshloi. There's only a limited time span during which these hair grow. Kozman Shu Godel, when it grows past a certain point, Noisher, it starts to fall out. And therefore, it never grows to the extent that it should cause this such discomfort that it should be mutter to cut it. Bamine Rabim Rav Chiya. So they asked Rav Chiya, Mal Lochuk. May one scratch in the area, on his underarms, or in the private area, to remove the hair. So he said, Asr. Amalu Asr, it's Asr. And as Mepharshim explained, because by doing such an act, he causes the hair to completely come out, and therefore it's Asr. The big dog Mahu, what is the halacha if he scratches that area with a by holding a piece of cloth, and that's how that hair comes out? What is the halacha? Amalei, then it's mutter. Ikad Amri, another version. If while one is davening, may he scratch the underarm or private area with a garment during davening. Amalei Aser, so he said it's Aser. However, since he's not actually touching those private covered areas during tefillah with his hands, he's only using a cloth, therefore it's mutter. Our Mishnah continues discussing the case that we began the perek with. The situation where we started the perek with two nazirim, where one was tamei and one wasn't tamei, but we didn't know which one is the one that was tamei and which is the one that's not tamei. And the Mishnah that we began the perek with gave us an exact formula what to do. However, now says the Mishnah, Meisech Mehen. We had these two individual nazirim, that one is tamei, one is not. We just don't know which one. And one of them died. And the other survivor doesn't know what to do. So the Mishnah begins to discuss what should be done under these circumstances. Amar Rav Yeshua. So Rav Yeshua says this survivor, who's a Nazir, who doesn't know if he's tamei or not, should go Yuvakish Echem and Ashok, should ask somebody, Sheyidah Kenegdah B'Nazir, to agree to become a Nazir. And even though, as the Mepharshim explained, one is supposed to avoid taking the darim and becoming a nazir. So how could the survivor ask someone to become a nazir? That person is not supposed to become a nazir. So one pshat that I saw from the Karen Ira is that if it is for the sake of doing a favor for someone else, as in our case, where the person is doing it, that his other friend should have a way out of his issue here, then one can accept a nazirus upon himself. Another pshat is our Gemara follows the opinions that we learned at the beginning of our Masechta, that being a nazir is considered kadosh, is considered holy. The third pshat is that, as we will see later in our Mishnah, Emir Tzah Hashem, that actually Rabben Zoyma gives a different option what to do in this situation, and the reason Ben Zoyma did not like Rabbi Yeshua's advice is because it involved somebody accepting upon himself Nazirus, which we want to avoid. So the person should he should find someone who's agreeable to be a nazir, Vaymer, and he tells that person, Im Tamei Yisi, if I'm the nazir who was Tamei, Hareyat Nazir Miyad, you should accept upon yourself Naziris immediately. Vim Tara Yisi, if I am the nazir that's Tar, Hareyat Nazir Achash Shloshim Yom, your term of Naziris should only begin in 30 days. And the Mefarshim point out that this person who's accepting upon himself Naziris, which we're going to learn, he's going to act as a nazir for 60 days because he's not exactly sure when his term begins, now or in 30 days. However, since he's never sure when he is a nazir, so if he's going to violate his naziris, and the halacha is before somebody does an aveira, he receives hasra. Here it'll always be hasra safik because he doesn't know for sure if he is or isn't a nazir, and he won't get malchus even if the mezid he drinks wine or is metamel mezim. The site from Shloshim Yom, so they count 30 days, on Vin Karma Tom of a Karma Tara. And then they bring a set of kabbonis, the kabbonis that are brought when somebody's Tomei, and the kabbonis that somebody brought when somebody's Tar. Vaymer. And the survivor says, Im Ani Hua Tomei, if I was the person who was Tomei, Karma Toma Shali, so the Karma Toma that's being brought now is mine, the Karma Tara Shulcha, and the Karma Tara that's being brought now is yours. If I am the tar, carbon tar is shali, the carbon tar is mine. The carbon tumah that's being brought, there is no reason to being brought because nobody was tummy, is only being brought besafik. Ask the Rishonim, how could a carbon be brought besafik? The halacha is that you're not allowed to bring chulin bazara. So the answer is, as we're going to learn soon in the Mishnah, the carbon tumah comprises a chata sa'if, an oila sa'if, and a carbon asham. The halacha is that a chatas oif may be brought misafik. And that's why, even though there's not a certainty here that the mechuyif to bring this carbon, it may be brought. The oilas oif also could be brought. And they make a tanai. If we're obligated to bring the oil because I was tamei, here it is. If not, it should be a carbon nadova, because an oil can be brought as a nadova. The carbon asham indeed is not brought because the carbon asham can only be brought if there's an definite obligation. Here we don't know if there is such an obligation, but the halacha is, as the Rishonim point out, that even if one was a nazir tamei, if he didn't bring the carbon asham, it's still the absence of that carbon asham doesn't diminish the fact that he did bring the other carbonas and he can resume his naziris. And now they start another term of Naziris. Aside from Shloshim Yom, on the Vin Karma Tara, then they count another 30 days, and at the end of that term, they bring Karma Tara. Vaymer, he says, Im Ani Tuma, if I was Tomei, Karma Tuma Shali, Karma Tara Shalach. The Karma Tuma that we brought 30 days ago was mine, and the Karma Tara was yours. Now, I'm bringing Karma Tara, so I'm bringing now, this Karma Tara is mine. If, on the other hand, Im Ani Atar, if I was the one who was tar, carbon tar shali, the carbon tar that was brought 30 days ago was mine. The carbon tumah that was brought then was only brought because of a suffix. The zeh carbon taroscha, and this carbon that's being brought now is because of you, because this is the end of your term of naziris. Amalai ben Zaymai. So ben Zaymai disagrees with Rabbi Shua's advice. He says, Umi shemeiloi shiyidah kenegdi ben nazir. Who's going to agree to such a advice? Ella, maybe chatas oif oils behema. This survivor should bring a chatas oif and oils behema at the end of the 30 days. Vaym im tamei yisi, if I was tamei, ha chatas mesafik, I'm bringing this carbon chatas because I'm obligated to bring the carbon chatas. Voilus should be for nedova. Vim tara yisi, if I was always tar, ha oilus michevasi, the chatas I'm bringing is mesafik. What about the oilus oif? So some Rishonim suggest that of course he has to bring the oil of saif also. But the oil of saif is obvious that it can be brought because an oil can be brought as a carbon nadova. However, other Rishonim say that since he's bringing kabbonis, we want to bring the minimal amount of kabbonis, and he only brings the chatos, he doesn't bring the oil. He may be mechuyiv in oil of saif because he might have been a nazir tamei. He could be yaitzeh b'dievid with the oil of behema that he's bringing. And now, the Sofer Shloshim Yom, he counts another 30 days, or maybe Karmatara, And now he brings the commentary. Vam im tamei, if I was tamei, hoyle rishon in the dover. He brings the whole set of commentary. He says, if I was tamei, the first oil I brought was nedava, and now I'm bringing my obligation as I complete my nazirus term. Vim tar, you see, if I was tar, hoyle rishon a chayva, then the first oil I brought was the chayva, and this oil I'm bringing now is nedava. The Zushar Kabani, and now I'm also bringing the rest of the Kabanis, the Asha, the oil and the Shlomim that a Nazir Tar has to bring. Rabbi Shua, Nimtzei, maybe Kabanis Lachtzoim. It comes out he's bringing his Kabanis piecemeal. The first, the oil he brought 30 days ago, and the Shlomim and the Chatos he's bringing today. Avloi Haidalai Chachamah Ben Zoyma, the Chacham agreed that Ben Zoyma's approach is the better approach. Ask the Gemara and understanding what Rabbi Shua was saying. Velaisi, so what's wrong in bringing the Kabbonis in a piecemeal fashion? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, Lo'am Rabbi Shmuel Al-Chad Abayas Talmidim. Rabbi Shua agreed that there's nothing wrong in bringing the Kabbonis piecemeal. The only reason he said it was to get the Talmidim to ask and answer. He showed them that sometimes you don't always ask such a great question. And this is the way he encouraged them to ask questions. In fact, I saw the Paiskim say, sometimes a Rebbe should ask a question, even though it's not such a great question, in order to encourage the Talmidim to ask. And sometimes a Rebbe may even say a teretz to a question, which he knows is really not a great teretz, but again, if his purpose is l'chadit b'yas Talmidim, it's mutter. Omer Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman points at another problem with Rabbi Yeshua's approach. My le'evedle Rabbi Yeshua l'daka d'le'lisru. According to Rabbi Yeshua, two people, the survivor and the volunteer, shear in the kabbonis. Now what happens is, you have to bring the carbon, they cook the foreleg, and then they wave it. But the halacha is that the cooking and the waving take place only after the nazir shaves his head. Since Rabbi Yeshua is saying that we have two people, so two people are going to have to go through a shaving process till we begin to cook and wave this foreleg. And the area around the intestines, that's the dakim, that area has a lot of fat that could easily spoil the kabbonis laid out in the sun in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash. So according to Rabbi Yeshua's approach, he explained, there's a real concern that the carbon will become spoiled and will no longer be available and useful for the tenufa. And again, that's another weakness in Yeshua's approach, and that's why he was suggesting we should follow Ben Zoyma's approach of what to do under this circumstance.